privilege.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. Director Sparks?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Here.
Director Cecilia?
Here.
Vice President Sennett?
Here.
President O'Hoskin?
Present. With that, then, we'll go ahead to the first item on the agenda, which is to receive the report out of closed session from September 16th and from this evening.
Yeah, addressed in closed session is under item A, and that is the bankruptcy court case, and the board will be re-adjourning to closed session at the close of this meeting to finish up their discussions on that item. And that the rest of the items are here on the agenda, but none of them were discussed in closed session at today's meeting. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, John. With that, then, we'll go to item number two, which is general public comment. And I would again appreciate two things. One is that we're talking about issues that are under the purview of the district, and secondly, if we could get people up there and ready to speak so we don't have time people shuffling in between, it would be appreciated by us. So with that, we'll open general public comment.
Great. Should I go? Should I start? Should I start? Oh, okay. Hi. Apparently, nobody else wants to go first, so I'm it. You asked about what, you know, talking about something in the purview of the CSD, and actually this is. I'm requesting that the LOCSD have a special meeting before October 26th because at the last Board of Supervisors meeting, they passed a rates and charges ordinance. And October 5th. They passed the rates and charges ordinance, and what they did was is they made a flat and variable rate on it of a 55 flat rate, which is your fixed costs, and a variable of 45%. And they didn't really have a lot of discussion about, well, actually no discussion about it. They said it would maybe save water, but what I was concerned about, I people, but then if you go down to, say you had kids, it would be $124.73. And so that's a big difference. And I'm worried that it's going to hurt people with families with income. It's going to be a real economic burden on them to have that big of a difference. It's $60 difference. In what they pay for O&M, for operation maintenance, every month. So I was hoping you guys would have a special meeting, like a public meeting, so we could talk about it. And I know you guys did the water rate structure. You did a tiered rate, and that was really good because you talked about cost and conservation. And I think we should do the same on this and then, like, write a letter and give it to Supervisor Gibson because he's the only one who can direct staff to change this rate structure to a less onerous one, you know, like 90 flat, 10, you know, 10 variable or 85 flat and 15% variable. So can I just have just another minute? Okay.
You can finish.
Yeah, finish. Okay, because I want you to represent us and the young families here, because I'm afraid that, you know, it's going to, you know, have people have to move.
When's the date?
Well,
I need to cut you off because we really have
I know. Okay, it's October 26th is the supervisor's meeting, and it's just a consent agenda item. There's no talk on it, except the board isn't going to discuss it. They're just going to pass it. Okay, just 1 second. But if you could have, would you discuss it after comment?
Yes.
Okay, no, but
you're done.
Would you discuss having a special meeting?
We will talk about it, yes.
Okay, thank you.
You now have a minute left. I'm dinging you for Lacey's.
Lacey and I are a team. Lacey and I are definitely a team, thanks. I just want to clarify something, Bo Cooper. I just want to clarify something Lacey said. They didn't actually propose the ordinance this time. They gave directions to the staff to come back on October 26th, which is about 3 weeks. And then when they do that, and surely they'll have an ordinance then, we have 45 days till December 14th to protest. That's the time that the board can chip in. The board doesn't have time to write the letter to really protest and to have a town hall meeting. It's not clear at all at this point that the county is going to have a town hall meeting to discuss it. They're going to give us the ordinance that we need to actively protest if we're going to protest. It's going to be a very difficult thing to stop it, especially with no information. Without a town hall meeting, without workshops, people just vote in ignorance and they'll vote in fear, same as I think they did in part at least on the Prop 218 when people were afraid for their houses. So, yeah, we have to vote yes, otherwise the Ward Board is going to kick us out. That level of fear. So I would back up Lacey and say we really do need workshops. You guys, I've said before, are the point person for the people of Los Osos, and I hope you take that responsibility in such a way that you'll do workshops. Also, thank you for listening. And the other thing is we had a demonstration at the last board meeting, and that was very successful. A couple of dozen people were there holding signs indicating that, yeah, the sewer is way too expensive. No one is opposed to a sewer. What we are all opposed to is a sewer that's not affordable. And the county has set things up in such a way that people are not going to be able to afford it. If you can't afford it, we're going to have to leave. Nobody wants to leave their homes. So I just want to point to the people of Los Osos. There are active people who are actively trying to slow the county down to help them come up with a better and more affordable sewer. So thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and this is well within your purview. The affordability question has always been on the mind of the CSD. I would have to say that the CSD was formed due to the affordability question and the 1998 sewer. Tuesday's discussion will lead to, I think, your board having its own agenda item to discuss how you protest rates and charges on the district properties. In 2007, on a 3-2 vote, the LOCSD board voted to assess the district properties. That assessment of $25,000 per property is passed on to the ratepayers. There are increases in fees from the district. In order to kind of affordability, you should be submitting a letter of your own, just of concern. You should also be asking the question about the financing. Why are we paying? Why will we be paying 3.25% for 40 years, longer than we need to, and at a higher rate? There are other monies available. Raise these questions from your board to that board. On a slightly separate topic, you know, I have ultra-low flow fixtures in my home. And every day, my family is conserving water. But we are using water. Every time I brush my teeth, flush the toilet, do a load of laundry, I have a front loader. I don't have any landscape, but I am using water. And I feel guilty that I personally am causing seawater intrusion. Later tonight in your utilities report, there's a report on the upper aquifer and lower aquifer wells at South Bay. The idea of the South Bay corridor for wells is that it's on the east side of town. And one of the recommendations from Cleath and Associates, and that's been going on for years, 10 years or more, is to move the pumping to the east side. My question tonight is, why are we still pumping from the Palisades well? That well is in the trough. Get out of the trough, stop pumping, stop drawing the water in from that finger, so to speak.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos, a resident of the Prohibition Zone. Before October the 26th, it is vital that this CSD agendize a meeting for the community as a town hall meeting where all of the people are present if they so desire. This is important to everyone, and the minute that the board receives an ordinance determining exactly how the rates and charges are to go into effect, that is practically a dead issue for the community to have any input in. The county has determined that they are going to go forth no matter what. That is going to be the purveyors that are going to address the water. The ISJ is not the answer. The ISJ is not in draft form to be out until December. The adjudication is nowhere. No one knows when the courts are going to decide. Therefore, it's going to take a long period of time before anything is done regarding the usage and conservation of water. The CSD has done an admirable job. Unfortunately, there are other purveyors in the community that are outside of the prohibition zone that they have not stepped up to the plate to conserve the water that we all draw out of this basin. This basin is a basin for this community, and we do not have any supplemental water coming in from Nacimiento, from the state water, nor can we, shall we call it, juggle, as they are doing in South County, with the amount of water that is coming in from the state. Consider having a meeting. Let the people know what's happening. Let us have a town hall meeting in which we all are able to get information and ask questions. And if necessary, get people out here from the county, because they're not going to do it on their own. It has to be a forced issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Martha Golden, Los Osos. I'm surprised to find that the Brown Act permits you to impose purview regulations on speakers. However, I'll say my piece, no matter what you think about purview. You've already heard from people about the issue of water. I'm sure you'll hear more about it. You've heard briefly about the question of a rates and charges ordinance. I want to call attention to the people in this community, because I'm afraid that for years, since the enactment of 2701 and the county's assuming of the lead role in developing a wastewater system for this community, this board has taken the position that hands-off is the way to represent the community. That is not the way you represent the community. The community has economic problems. We're led down the primrose path when they voted $127 million of assessments against their own property, approximately $25,000 on average for each ordinary household. That money was supposed to pay for less than the total cost of the project, which was at that time guesstimated to be somewhere in $165 million. For years, I said, where's the $40 million coming from? Oh, maybe it'll come from here. Maybe God will provide. I'm not sure. And maybe the undeveloped properties will have another 218 vote, and they will agree, even though there's no water and no guarantee they can ever build, to cough up that extra money. Wrong. The county has now decided that you, the ratepayers in the prohibition zone, are going to foot the cost via rates and charges. They haven't yet passed the ordinance, but they will at their next meeting, and that means you don't get to vote. If you do not protest, as the people in Paso Robles did against a lawsuit, if you don't protest, you take the affirmative steps to just say no, you are not going to be charged more than $25,000 per property to build an overpriced sewer run by Montgomery Watson Harza, the company that's been kicked out of several communities because of its unsavory tactics. You will be paying through the nose for millions of unnecessary dollars.
Next speaker, please.
Thank you, Judge Golden. That was some very good advice, and I think it was very clearly stated that the county wants us to pay for the rest of the sewer costs until such time as the, excuse me, my name is Al Barrell, and glad to see you all are in health tonight and attending. The county wants us to pay for the full cost of the sewer, and they have it at $189 million. We already have a $21 million assessment, so that's a total of $210 million settled on the people who voted for the assessment in 2007, was it? I think, 2008. Anyway, whenever it was passed. So that means if you divide, if there's 5,000 properties or thereabout, should think about this. Because if you remember, this board voted, had hired a telephone survey professional team back in 2001, and Maslin was their name, and they came up with the affordable cost of $80 a month. Somewhere around $200 a month is what it is now, but it's going to be averaged over 35 years. Well, the life cycle of the project will have expired, and the replacement and repair costs will have kicked in. So there will be extra money to pay then. Where is that coming from? Guess what? Out of your pocket. So the ratepayers of this community have been promised one thing that was, at the time I got involved, $36 a month. It's now over $200 a month without the on-lot costs. So please pay attention to this and consider voting no on what they're going to be calling a protest hearing, which will probably start in November. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any speakers after Frank, Richard, Tom? Okay, thank you.
Okay. Frank Salil, Los Osos. First, I want to make a statement regarding what I've heard some of you on the board say before about your trust in the county process. And I'd like to remind you now that currently there's nearly spent $8 million on this wastewater project the county has spent. And I remember them saying that this process up to now should cost about $2 million early on. We've gone way beyond that, and we don't even have a wastewater project. So I'm concerned that if we're having difficulty at this stage, what's going to happen during the building part of it? And I have a question to all of you. Are you willing to consider raising the questions that some of the previous speakers have brought up about the rates and charges, and possibly at that point maybe even consider writing a letter? You do have property in that will be affected. You will eventually have to agendize this item, but I know at that point you'll mostly be focusing on your property, not necessarily the community as a whole. But hopefully you will consider looking at the whole community. I have a question regarding some of the numbers. They're saying the build-out numbers now for the whole community are about 19,713. 18,428 are within the prohibition zone. So, and also, you know, we're going to have the people outside the prohibition zone, too, are going to be competing for the water. and I've said this many times before, there are a number of lots outside the prohibition zone that can add wells to their property, which they have the legal right to, and draw down on the basin. So I'll go back to my other question is, do you know the number of people you're going to be able to provide services to and undeveloped properties? If the population is going to be, they're estimated 18,428, how many of those you can serve in addition to what you're currently serving? Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, board, members of the public. I am Fred Delegata, a 26-year resident of Los Osos, and I am a candidate for the Los Osos CSD Board of Directors, and that is what I'd like to speak about tonight. I began serving Los Osos about 7 years ago by volunteering for committees on the CSD. I served two terms on the CSD Finance Advisory Committee and one term on the Combined Water Ops Finance Committee. I've been elected to two terms on the Los Osos Community Advisory Council, where I currently serve as vice chair and chairperson of the Transportation and Circulation Committee. For the last couple of months, I have been attending CSD board and CSD committee meetings, trying to come up to speed and learn about what is going on. During this campaign, I have had an opportunity to listen to many constituents and hear about their concerns. Sewer affordability, water management, stop and reverse seawater intrusion, personal safety within the community, jobs, and working with the county to solve drainage issues. I need the community's help to become elected to the board. I am last on the ballot, but I ask that you cast your first vote for me, Fred Delegata. If you'd like to speak to me, feel free to call me at home, 528-1738. Thank you, and have a good evening.
Thank you, Fred. Richard will be our last speaker then, I guess. Okay, thank you.
Richard Margaretson. Tuesday, first of all, I want to thank Chuck for his very powerful comments at supervisors. Old rates and charges, when the rates and charges were instituted previously under General Manager Bruce Buell, those had exhaustive public meetings in this community before the board ever adopted it and, you know, set the 45-day time frame for final adoption. It's a little disturbing to me that that's going to be the process. And the only way public input happens that day is through three-minute comments on the consent calendar and the hope that a supervisor pulls the item for further discussion. And then they're going to come back on December 14th, right in the middle of the holiday season, and adopt this ordinance. I think there needs to be some format for there to be further input, because I currently have a problem with the direction they gave staff, but I'll wait to make those comments later. I think they take the affordability issue completely out of the process if they adopt the 55-45 scenario. The other thing that's probably as equally disturbing or more disturbing that came out of Tuesday is Mr. Gibson intimated that by the time this project is online, all of the conditions for vacant landowners to build will have been satisfied. And that, for me, is very scary, because he believes that one technical memo saying that there's a way of balancing the basin stops seawater intrusion. Even if you stop it, we still have seawater intrusion up to the point it is now, which means at any point down the road, another drought period, you know, other conditions, and we're right back in the ballgame again with it moving inward. And we don't have regular monitoring now. I don't know how in 3 years all of the conditions are satisfied and we're able to say to people that there's going to be a condition of build-out which gets us in the condition that we were in the 80s, where 1,100 homes were built that shouldn't have been. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll close public comment. I just have a couple of comments, and then I'll turn it over to staff, primarily to answer a couple of questions. And I'm not sure on the door it was actually adopted.
On the 14th of December.
Thank you. Okay. So what... We would have time to comment, is what I'm saying. That we would not have be able to comment by the 26th, because I quite frankly just don't think we're going to be able to have time by then. It's something that once we decide what our process is on the bankruptcy and how we're going to proceed, I'll talk to the rest of the board and see if we can schedule a meeting between now and then. But it's not a discussion I can have because it's not agendized, and it's something that we'll just have to. The bankruptcy right now is of prime importance, and I have to say that quite frankly, because we do have a deadline of the 22nd. So that's something that I can call a special meeting, or three of the board members can, but that's something we'll discuss after, or I'll think about after we get done with this. But I want to confirm the dates, because I want to make sure we do have an opportunity to get input in. And secondly, we will have a public hearing on the board's voting on the protest hearing. That's for sure. I mean, there's no question about that. That will be on a regularly scheduled agenda, so we will do that for sure. So there's no question about that. And just one other answer regarding the question of how many more water could be provided in the prohibition zone, just two quick answers. One is we don't serve all of the prohibition zone. We only serve a portion of it. And secondly, as a requirement of the wastewater project, before any of the vacant lots could be developed, there has to be an LCP amendment approved by the Coastal Commission relative to the water. So that's down the road, clearly. But that is being addressed in the process because it does require an LCP amendment. So, staff, have any comments?
I was just going to say that as part of the adjudication process that the district's involved in, they are looking at the land use, adopted land uses for the Los Osos area, projected build out of Los Osos, and those numbers do break down between the different purveyors. So, through that process, we have an idea how many people were. If there is enough water, that how many people build out represents. I have not verified whether the wastewater project has the same number. They could be making different assumptions, and they might be a little bit different, but for the most part, I would expect they're very close.
Okay, thank you. Anybody, John, you have anything to add? Okay, with that, then, we'll go to our presentation from our esteemed battalion chief.
Excuse me, here in Los Osos that do not have a proper street addressing. The firefighters have over the time told me about the things. We try and catch them when we can. So one thing we're trying to do is to start a campaign that brings us to light. So I have a quick presentation for you, and we'll walk through this thing. So the goal of the presentation, the goal of what some of you have been seeing on Channel 20 is to help you help us get to you. Second... We're not proud. Seconds count. When you call 911 or someone calls 911, they need us there quickly. Now, there's many things that we can control. Our dispatch, the way we drive, how fast things move, how our preparedness at the fire station. There's certain things we cannot control. And one of the things we cannot control is addressing. And so we want to be able to get to the address and find it quickly. Majority of emergency response delays can often be attributed to not being able to find an address. Either someone doesn't know where they live, it's a third-party call. My mother lives on 10th Street. She just called and says she needs an ambulance. I live in Santa Monica. Happens all the time. So that's important that we get it. But once we're on the road, they got to have the posted address. One of the things that's happening now is cell phones do not give us a posted address. But if you call from your house into 911, that number and that address pops up on the screen. It helps us. But if we show up and the address is not out on the street, the guys can't find it. The guys and the girls cannot find it. So it's got to be out there. It's also in the San Luis County code, the fire code, and Title 20, and we're looking at evaluating putting it in the Los Osos fire code with this revision. The county fire code says is approved numbers and addresses are required for all new and existing buildings within the county. So if your numbers have fallen off, you know, in theory, you're in violation. It also says they have to be plainly visible and legible from the street or the road fronting the property. Now, I've got a couple of examples for you here. This is a great example. Big numbers. They're very, they have contrasting colors. One of the things that we try and recommend is think of trying to find an address on a foggy, rainy night with no street lights at 2 o'clock in the morning when you've had a really good REM sleep for about 6 hours. If we can't do it at that point, they're not going to find you. So in this case, just. If your house is offset, we encourage having two addresses. In this case, 2590 is written up on the house itself, up high, and out on the street. I'm getting Ampy's back of Ampy's head right now. There it is, and out on the street. So two visual indicators for the firefighters and the ambulance, the sheriffs, the CHP to find your house. So that was for single-family residents and duplexes. Well, for townhouses, condos, commercial residences, or commercial occupancies, excuse me, we're looking for 8 inches in height, half-inch stroke, and then individually marked on the different occupancies at 6 inches. So this is a pretty good example. Got a big condo here, or a multiple occupancy. On the garage, from the street, plainly visible, is a series of addresses. What's interesting is the very next set, they've all fallen off. We find that quite a bit in Los Osos. The firefighters, the emergency responders will find a house eventually, but this causes a delay. Addresses should be of contrasting color. As I said, reflector eyes are lighted really, really help us. So if you get the opportunity to do that, we highly recommend it. Here's an example again of contrasting colors, the brown and the light blues, and this person gets extra points because they're able to coordinate their interior decorations with the outside numbers. All right, so for extra points, who can tell me what the address of this house is in Los Osos? Great, great. Well, if it was, you'd be able to say, tell me that it is 455. Those are things, or 1455, excuse me, those are just difficult places to find. Again, at night, in the fog, on a rainy day, with foggy eyes. All right, so buildings that are set back, we talked about, put them on the road and get them at the house. Here's a couple examples. Someone built it into the mailbox. They have some little markers. Of course, I'd like to see them a little bit bigger, but they're out there on the ice plant, so as they're driving down the road, we can still find them. Addresses need to be clearly visible from both sides, and preferably with reflector eyes again. So here's a great example of a mailbox out on the road, and it's up on the house as well, visible from both sides as they drive down the street. The addresses need to remain visible. Just because you put them up doesn't mean that they're going to be visible again at the end of spring after the vegetation has grown. So remember to brush those things back. This is about street signs. Street signs need to be visible from all sides and all approaches. Not all of the people responding, you know, live and work in Los Osos like the Station 15 folks do. So sometimes we can see the street signs, and sometimes we can't. So, you know, what street is that? That's actually on LOVR. Here's another one. All right. Are we going to be able to find that one at night? It was Fern. That's right. All right. So what we're looking for is take a peek at your house, take a peek at your street, and start to try and work on this thing. If it's a street sign, we don't expect you to get a ladder out and start pruning the vegetation if it's a street sign. But the county public works have developed a really great website. You can go onto this website, and there's a public road work request on the site, all automated. They'll come out and they'll trim the trees, get the road signs back up and running. So in summary, we're looking for 6-inch numbers that contrast in color. We're looking to ensure that the numbers are clearly visible and legible from the street. Maintain that address visibility by trimming the trees, the bushes, and the foliage, and utilize additional posting if you're offset. We really appreciate your time and your effort, and if there's concerns or you need assistance with this, as always, please give us a call at the fire station at 528-1053. Can I answer any questions for you?
Any questions? I have one, but Steve, go first.
Yes, thank you. Chief, do you know if you paint your address on the curb, does it have to be in a specific location so a car doesn't park in front of it?
I'm not aware of any regulations on that, but I can research that for you for sure.
Phil, you talked about the 6-inch height, but one point in the presentation there was something about the width of the letters. What was that?
Half inch stroke.
So half inch, okay. Because I think that's one of the things. There are people that have bigger letters, but they're really skinny and hard to read. So I think we should stress the 6-inch and the half inch.
Absolutely. And that's for both commercial and multi-residential occupancies, a half inch stroke.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the board? Thank you for the presentation. I think it was great.
Thank you.
With that, then, we'll move to administrative and committee reports, I believe.
All right.
Yes, I'm ready.
Duties. We had one of our firefighters, Firefighter Moodhart, went off to college to get higher education and resigned. We participated in the FEMA-evaluated Diablo Canyon preparedness drill. We have not received a written confirmation or evaluation, but we did receive a verbal from our evaluator at Station 15 and Cal Fire in the area performed very, very well, and they're very happy with our product. We continue to do some training on the 4036, just basic skills and maintenance, and gave a tour to the San Luis Adult School of Parent Participation on the 4th of August. Finally, we continue to meet with various people out there to get automatic external defibrillators in the community. In this case, we met with the South Bay Community Center to try and put an AED in this building, and we're still working on that. I do have a couple other things there for extra credit points and a fire hat. Can anybody tell me what this week is? By presidential proclamation. I can never talk. Proclamation. President Obama, or I can't even say that. Barack declared this the Fire Prevention Week. And this year's theme for Fire Prevention Week is smoke alarms, a sound that you can live with. Now, I've talked quite a bit about smoke alarms over the months, and I'm not going to go in too much with that, but there is some handouts in the back to assist or to get out the word for smoke alarms. The burn relay, the Alicia Ann Rouge burn relay, did come through town today and through the county. I want to call out that Station 15 was able to donate $500 to the Alicia Ann Rouge Burn Foundation. Overall, throughout the county, 6,374 elementary and junior high school students received a fire prevention message from San Luis County firefighters from all the jurisdictions. And overall, somewhere between $11,000 and $12,000 was raised for the Burn Foundation. So this big thing for the board and members of the community is to realize that 500 of that bucks came from the community through the South Bay Reserve Firefighters Association, and we do appreciate their support, as does the Alicia Ann Rouge Foundation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. President Ohilsky had to step out for a moment, so I'll preside here and call
Collins, corresponding with to a revenue of approximately $135,000. This represents a revenue increase of approximately 5% over last year. The monthly compliance report was submitted to the Department of Public Health with no problems or violations noted. In addition to their regular duties, utility crews cleared weeds from the Bay Ridge drainage basin and scarified the bottom of the basin to improve percolation in anticipation of the coming rainy season. Utility staff also performed additional sampling as part of the Department of Public Health lead and copper program. This program enlists the assistance of the public in order to get a representative cross-section of the community since samples are taken from inside private homes, the lead and copper program is as much a test of private piping systems as it is for district-owned pipelines. Modern materials and equipment are resulting in decreased concerns over issues associated with lead and copper, and the requirement for testing is becoming less frequent. Fluid Resource Management, a consultant that's helped the district out in the past on various projects, has continued working on the South Bay well, and the lower aquifer well should be operational this week or early next week. As you may recall, the plan for the South Bay well is to operate the lower aquifer well with the hope that the nitrate levels continue to drop to a point where the water can be blended with upper aquifer water. And the Sammy Steelhead board game made an appearance at the 2010 Coastal Discovery Fair in July. The event was quite a success, and the outreach opportunities that result from our relationship with the Central Coast partners in water quality continue to benefit our efforts. There were several volunteers that helped with the game and with the kids, and their contributions are very much appreciated. Some photos of the event have been added to the drainage section of the district's website, which is at www.locsd.org. And with that, I'm able to answer any questions you might have on the utilities.
Yeah, do we have any questions from the board?
Okay. All right. Moving on to the administrative update, relatively brief this evening. The open enrollment period for changes to employee medical insurance is winding to a close. In September, employees also had a chance to sign up for supplemental insurance through AFLAC and make changes to any CalPERS 457 deferred compensation contributions. Also during the week of September 20th, the auditing team shared the office with district staff, and their work went very smoothly. And we're looking forward to receiving a draft report sometime next month. And that's it for the administrative department update. Any questions there?
No. Any questions from the board?
Conference. There were several keynote sessions that involved all conference attendees, as well as several smaller breakout sessions on a variety of topics. I was particularly impressed by the caliber of presenters in the keynote sessions. Former NFL quarterback Tom Flick was a very dynamic and inspiring speaker who drew parallels between sports teams and work teams. He recently contributed to the book Speaking of Success, a copy of which I have here, which he was kind enough to autograph for me. I was compelled to buy the book and bring it back and share it with district staff. So that's what it looks like. Very interesting book. It's a series of interviews with people like Mr. Tom Flick and how their experiences in leadership and success in their lives. It's a really neat, really neat book. Another exciting keynote speaker was Olympic gold medal swimmer and sports commentator John Neighbor. Mr. Neighbor spoke about how Olympic athletes are really just ordinary people who found a way to do something extraordinary at a particular moment in time. A lot more easily said than done, clearly, but it really makes you think, hey, maybe I could do that too. He also spoke a great deal about his experience as a broadcaster, where he was often the first person that other Olympic champions spoke to after their gold medal performance or after receiving their gold medal. His stories were really amazing, very encouraging, and very inspiring. Of the smaller forums, I participated in sessions on media relations, governance, and funding options for capital projects. Overall, it was a very productive and informative conference. On another subject, at the last board meeting, a question was raised about a purchase of coloring crayons, and it was an excellent catch by Director Cecenia, as the amount of the purchase was an error, actually. The check that was issued for $796 was canceled, as the correct amount should have been $300.40. And this was all done before the meeting, by the way, but it was nevertheless still a good catch by Director Cecenia. And that $300 purchased something on the order of 1,200 boxes of the crayons. This is what they are. They're soy-based crayons for kids, for safety. And the crayons are given out to grade schoolers with coloring books and activity books. Here's a couple examples here. This is part of our education outreach activities, which are required by our stormwater discharge permit from the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And at the last outreach event, over 100 the Morro Bay National Estuary Program. And finally, on April 1st, 2010, this board established the district's records management system and records retention schedule. And at the last board meeting, a list of records was presented to the board as the first step in the destruction process for some of those records, as outlined in the records management policies. In light of director and public comments, as well as comments from the Finance Committee, it was decided that any further consideration of records destruction should only take place after the district's bankruptcy case is resolved. So unless I receive some other direction from the board, destruction of any district records will be deferred until that milestone is reached. And with that, I'm able to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, I will return the... okay, well, we'll keep going here. We'll next hear committee reports.
Can I make a comment on that last administrative report?
Oh, yes, certainly, yes.
Thank you for the clarification about the crayons. There was no good catch. It just seemed like a large amount for crayons. I knew nothing about the discrepancy in the check amount. But thank you for the clarification about how these materials are used, because when I hear that we're passing out things down at Oktoberfest and things, it makes me wonder, that's for the whole county. Are we spending money to educate everybody's children within the county, and we could target schools here? But then I see that this really is a countywide outreach program, and we're benefiting from the free books that the county gives us. We participate in other people's programs, and then they come here too. And we'll trust staff to make efficient use of all that resources, and thank you very much.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had to step out of the room because I had...
I will now return control.
I do apologize, but sometimes life takes priority, unfortunately, or fortunately. With that, then, we'll move to committee reports. We have the Standing Advisory Committee and Ad Hoc Committee reports, Emergency Services Advisory Committee.
Thank you, President Hilsky. The Emergency Services Committee met on September 14th, gave a brief verbal report the last meeting. The written report is in the packet. Three main items just to touch upon. The committee reviewed the 2010 proposed fire code ordinance, and that's going to come back to the board. Mr. Gilmer, do you know when that will come back? Do you have a date yet for?
November, December.
Okay. And then the other item was, again, discussed the AED devices. And as you may have seen, and as we've discussed, there is one now placed at the library across the street. And
okay, seeing none, we'll move to Finance Advisory Committee, and Vice President Sennett will give those reports.
Yes, we've had two meetings since we had one on September 27th. And we did not establish a quorum, so we didn't take any action, but certain things came out that were significant. Two of the items we reviewed, the financial policies and procedures, expenditure control guidelines, we began reviewing them and commenting on them, but we only got so far, so it'll be continued at the next meeting. One of the things that we also established was informally the need to, and this has been pressed several times before, that the committee would like to see the financials to review them prior to the board meeting. So it was unanimous that, well, no quorum again, but that we would have meetings the Monday before the board meeting, and also on our regularly scheduled third Monday of the month to review other items that had financial impact on the district. Regarding the records retention policy, we thought we'd delay that until the bankruptcy is settled, but that'll be a continued item as well. We set the next meeting for October 4th and October 18th, so we consequently had the October 4th meeting, and we reviewed the August financials. Let's see. There were quite a few significant things that we went over. They're very helpful in helping us determine what we look at and kind of setting policy on what we review. And one of the things we established was that it's not always very, very convenient to set a policy because there's so many different types of situations, and that a lot of things are best handled with, for lack of a better word, sensitivity, where the general manager and the board and the committee have about 2 hours. Oh.
Any questions? I do have an unanswered question from that Ms. Tacker gave me. She's not going to be here, but it has to do with the Financial Advisory Committee. And the question was, did the Financial Advisory Committee see the proposal for the firehouse drain? And the answer is yes, and it was discussed relative to doing it as well as the cost of it. So in response to that question that's being asked, that we did hear that at that was the meeting before those mm-hmm. two meetings, and we did discuss the project as well as the cost. So just as an unanswered question, I wanted to make sure that we got that out, that was discussed. So with that, Utility Advisories Committee?
We haven't met since our last meeting. Our meeting's next Wednesday. Since our regular scheduled meeting was after our last meeting, we haven't met in between then, so.
Thank you. Director's reports on attendance at other agency committee meetings. Does anybody have any? I have one. None? Okay. I think that we do, just as an update, all the community service districts and the special districts have an organization in the county, which is the County Special Districts Association. Yours truly is the president for this year. And we did have a meeting, and there's a couple things coming out of that the board needs to be aware of. We are going to, the special districts have two seats on LAFCO, both seats which will be vacant as of January 1st. So we will be nominating and electing two members to LAFCO to represent the special districts. Those elections will be run by LAFCO, and David Church will run those. They'll be run concurrently, not together. So we'll have an election for Mr. Brooks's seat. The letter for nominations will go out, and we'll consider nominations at our next meeting. And then the following month, we'll have the election, and then the next seat will come up. So that's something that will be upcoming. And I'll make a political campaign speech. There's somebody on this board that would like to be the LAFCO representative of the special district, so he would like the support of his board in nominating him for that because he's already politicking for it. But I think I could do a good job on LAFCO. Secondly, so that's something we'll be considering next meeting also. Is anybody, any of you five board members or four other board members want to serve on integrated waste? I guess it basically leaves it to Ms. Kelly because the other ones won't be here. So if Ms. Kelly wants to, we can look at nominating that. But that will be coming up. I think the interesting thing that we have in that committee that we just started doing this year is that we're now going to have interaction between the planning department and the special district representative to come to that meeting. We had a presentation by Chuck Stevenson of the Planning Department, and Glenn Marshall was there from Public Works, and Dan was there as well as I was. But there's going to be an opportunity now to look at the integration between county planning and the provision of services by the community service districts, and I think that's something that's important, especially in our area, where we want to make sure that the county is implementing or allowing development that can be serviced and met by the infrastructure and the capabilities of the basin. So that's something that we're starting. We're going to have a regular rapport with them. And also the county, for people that are into this, is updating their area plans for the entire county. Right now, I believe there's 26 area plans for the county. Those are going to be reduced down to 5 area plans. So the area plans will be more unified but bigger, so they're trying to do it based on watersheds or water basins or areas. So the Special Districts Association is going to be working closely with the Planning Department in coming up with definable, for lack of a better term, planning areas and input into those planning areas. So I think it's kind of an exciting time, and it's good for our association or our district to be involved in that association. So that's the only thing that I think happened. With that, then, I think we have the chairwoman of LOCAC here to give the LOCAC report.
Yes, thank you very much. At our last meeting, we had Mr. Tony Navarro and his son present to us. The presentation was about the community development block grant funds as a possible source of funding for help to low-income households for connecting to Halloween weekend that's been postponed till November. There's some scheduling difficulties with the proposed venue. However, a battle of the garage bands is in the works for sometime around the December holidays or shortly thereafter, which should be a hoot, actually. Our Land Use Committee upcoming meeting is having John Bucell from County Planning come speak to us about the vacation rental ordinance. Los Osos will be included in it, acting on suggestions we made a little more than a year ago, I think. And it's possible that Dave Flynn will be there. And whether he's there or not, the Land Use Committee will be discussing the Ravenna drainage issue. We have pictures. The Transportation and Circulation Committee meets now on the third Thursday of the month. This month it will be October 21st. This is a change. And I'm not going to read you the whole agenda. There are 10 items on it, but the three top ones are Ryan Chapman will be there to discuss the circulation study update, make a presentation to us then. He's also going to be discussing adding a yield sign at First and Santa Isabel and making Santa Isabel an 11th Street and all-way stop. And as always, contact Fred to report your favorite pothole. We're going to have a booth at Oktoberfest, where it's probably our first step into a greater community outreach than we've been able to manage in the past. Please stop by and see us. Please give us your email address if you would like to be on our email mailing list for announcements and so forth. And our Trees and Landscape Committee met with two students from Cal Poly who are going to be doing a tree and landscape survey as their senior project, which is something that LOCAC has been interested in having done for a long, long time before I ever became chair. Our next meeting is October 28th, and Ryan Chapman will be coming to discuss the circulation study with LOCAC as a whole. And the meeting after that is December 16th. We won't be having...
Very interesting with the possibility of the help for the low-income people doing the sewer laterals. I thought that was...
Yeah, it really is giving us some hope. And it was very nice. As I mentioned last time, that meeting was an anomaly because we didn't have any actual agenda items. So we had plenty of time for a thorough presentation.
I thought it was great, and I think the community appreciates that. So with that, I've got to get my glasses on. So we'll move then to the consent calendar, and we'll have comments on it.
But one thing. It seemed like in the past we had promised the community that someone from this board would attend Board of Supervisors meetings and come back with some kind of report.
Oh, yes.
Did you want to make a report since you were there for part of the
day? I was only there till 2:30, though. yes, I can.
You may not want to hear what I have to say.
Actually... No, I thought your presentation was well spoken. I think that, and I do apologize for that. I thought that since it had been discussed by the public, that was pretty much
only the rates and charges side of it. I mean, there was another $750,000 bringing the total to $8 million.
Right.
Just kind of a general update for people.
Right. The Board of Supervisors had. I guess, a broad-ranging discussion of the Los Osos wastewater project. I think the primary thing that they were trying to get done that one day was the additional $750,000, which the board authorized to be expended on the design and engineering of the project. That was passed on a 4-1 vote. They, with Supervisor Meacham voting no. They also did have a discussion on the rates and charges, and there was no resolution adopted. There was direction given to staff. And I think, just to give an overview, there was four alternatives that were laid out by staff, which was fixed variable, a 90-10 fixed variable, and a 55-45 fixed variable. I thought the presentation was very, very instructive and informative. Supervisor Patterson wanted to have further discussion about the 55-45 and the 90-10. Then there was public comment, and it was 2:30, and I had to leave. I do know what the, they directed staff to come back with the 55-45 variable ordinance at the end on the consent agenda. And that I, my understanding of it was going to consent agenda, but then it would actually be starting on
terms of rates and charges and O&M. Are ways to have the currently developed properties pay for the entire cost of the project, since there is no certainty that the supplemental 218 for the undeveloped properties is going to pass. That's really kind of what that talk is all about, and I think people are interested in that. The board also decided to do away with the design-build concept for the collection system, which they had always acknowledged as a potential cost savings. They tried to use the USDA requirements as a way of justifying that, and there's still some uncertainty about that. There seemed to be a lot of uncertainty about that. I think those kind of things are all important, every action that they take, and the community really should be paying attention, because it's crunch time right now. It may be too late to stop the train.
I do agree with you that there has been a shift in the board, or I don't want to say the boards, because they're listening to staff, but staff's approach to the developed properties versus the undeveloped properties and the rates and charges and a second 218. But I think that's something I'd really, again, like to see what they actually come up with, because I'm not quite sure at this point.
I guess my advice would be people wake up, because we've been, I think, just watching things go along for a while, and it seems like the changes, we get direction, and then all of a sudden we're veering off in another direction, and it's not always comfortable for me.
Okay, and I do appreciate that. I did forget to report on that, and I apologize. So with that, then, we'll move to public comment on the... Oh, I'm sorry.
I got a question here from the public.
A response to previously asked questions. I apologize.
Right. And so I thought I'd pop it in here. And the reason why I put my notes on the question, but then I started agonizing whether or not I misspelled a word. And I certainly didn't want to hand this back to the public with a misspelled word. So I thought I would just, I better just do my comment. And the question is the rate adoption process and county ordinances. And I want to preface this remark is that each local agency has a different process for adopting rates and charges. It's not all unified. For example, a community service district can adopt rates and charges by resolution. Counties and cities typically adopt their rates and charges. And I'm saying the word typical because there's no cookie cutter approach to this. Typically, they will introduce the ordinance at a meeting, and then go out to the 45 days, the notice in the 45 days. At the conclusion of that, they will have what's called the protest hearing, where all the protests have to be in and counted. And thereon, either at that meeting or at a subsequent meeting, they will actually, what some people say, have the second reading of the ordinance, or they will adopt the ordinance. So there is a two-reading requirement, and that's generally how it unrolls for those agencies that can only adopt fees by ordinance.
I did have one other unanswered question, and I don't know how this one got overlooked, but this question was asked by Ms. Tacker at our last meeting, was about the $343.75 to Elements, Inc. for the website. We didn't answer that question, so I think we need to get an answer back for the next meeting. It was on the ledger item. There was that expenditure amount on there. That item was questioned as well as a crayon item, so since we need to get an answer back for the next meeting about that. So with that, then, I hope.
No, were you going to ask about the consent?
Yeah, I was going to ask if we're going to poll anything, and then we'll go to public comment, yes. So is anybody going to poll an item on the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move to... Oh, I'm sorry.
I did have one. I think there's one slight correction on the minutes, and that is under page 2 at the bottom, where it says Director Kelly reported on the FAC meeting. I think that probably the utilities meeting. So,
all right, thank you. So with that, then, we'll move to public comment on the administrative reports, committee report, or consent calendar items. Thank you.
Fred Delegado, Los Osos. I want to thank Chuck for reporting on the Board of Supervisors meeting where they voted for to take another $750,000 out of the road fund for this wastewater project. Now, that combined with the $7 million or so that they spent before should come to $8 million, as Chuck has mentioned. However, thank you.
Thank you. Leonard.
Leonard Mudhart, Los Osos. I'm a 16-year resident, and also I happen to be a candidate for the Los Osos Community Services District. I wanted to make a quick comment on Chief Vinares's report. I kind of was compelled to, being the proud father of firefighter Mudhart. I kind of wanted to give a shout out for the reserve program that they have. It's just a fabulous program. I really appreciate the support that the board gives to the program. It's just a wonderful opportunity for the men and women that join that program to get a tremendous amount of training and get a real sense of what it is if to choose that as a career path to become one of the many facets of firefighting. So I just wanted to give a shout out to that program and thank you for supporting it.
Thank you. Next.
Frank Cilio, Los Osos. I want to do a little follow-up with Dan. In one of the meetings I asked the idea of checking with Golden State regarding their leak detection program, and I'm wondering if you had that discussion with Golden State of what type of leak detection program they had. I don't know if you remember that question. Oh, that was one of my questions way back.
We'll get that answered.
Okay, yeah, because I think it's important to know because I'm in that area and I'd like to be able to find that information, and I think you probably get it better than I can. The other issue with regarding supervisors, the meeting, important meeting that you've talked about on the 5th of October is online and available to the public to view. They can go to the Board of Supervisors website and connect to the agenda, and then from the agenda open up that section and watch it, or they can listen to it. You don't have to watch the video. You can listen to it as an auditory. And you can fast forward that too. It's kind of nice. You can move it around. The other thing is when you talked about the rates and charges, it's very important to develop property. People find out there's people that are not going to be able to build. I'm looking forward to seeing the information that was said about the how much water can be available, how much you can serve compared to difference in the wastewater system. I think that's important. I hope you go over the, you know, when you have the rates and charge information, and I think it'll be November, the next meeting, you'll decide that issue. I have problems, and I'll bring that up with dealing with the issue of undeveloped properties at this time. I think there's other ways of doing it that we don't have to pick up that cost for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any speakers after Richard? Lon and Gwen.
Richard Margotson. I find it interesting in the utilities report that revenue for the last billing period was up 5%, but consumption was down 8%. So I guess we're making money, but we're also trying to solve the water conservation problem at the same time. In that vein, Mr. Gibson, at the update on Tuesday, talked about and put a lot of emphasis on the ISJ when it comes to the water issues here in town. At what point are we going to have an idea of what the projects that are going to come out of the ISJ are going to cost and how that's going to be funded? Is the county, you know, the county is a participant in the ISJ. Is the county going to help with that funding, or is that all going to have to come from the basically the three purveyors here in town? And, you know, when we're talking about cost of this project and the cost of the ability to build out, that's a cost that has to be factored in, because initially that cost is going to be borne by the rate payer, the water rate payers. There's also, changing subject a little bit, in the ordinance, there's also instruction to work. I think we got to be very mindful of making sure those sections are carefully read and understood by all, including the supervisors, including the purveyors, before we accept that ordinance or don't accept it or protest it or whatever. You know, this is a very complicated issue, and I still, like I said earlier, I have a real problem that it's just being introduced as a consent agenda item as opposed to a full, you know, agenda item with discussion by the supervisors, because Mr. Ohelski's correct. You know, there was some discussion earlier, but when they got down to the end of the meeting to make the recommendation, there was very little discussion amongst the supervisors. It was just passed on to staff again.
Thank you. Gwen?
Gwen Taylor. I concur with Mr. Cecina that there was a lot going on at the Tuesday board meeting. There was an attempt to cram in too much in a short time, too many decisions for the board to make, too much to listen to and to ask questions about. And apparently, somewhere along the line, there are those that sit on that board that have a problem asking questions of their staff, and the staff is feeding them whatever the staff wants to feed them. It has been called to a supervisor's attention that this has been going on, and perhaps for the sake of everyone, that they had begun to question the staff's information and the staff's report. To get back to the question that was asked in reference to the leak detection with Golden State Water, I have asked before, and I will suggest once again, that Golden State begin to audit the water usage, particularly in the businesses that they have, shall we call it, control over. There are water users from Golden State that are businesses in which a representative from Golden State said, I can tell you that they are using losing water because they have not properly adjusted things within their buildings. I realize that you don't...
Maybe before I start my time, do I understand that item, this is a consent calendar comment period, and that item 5, the last item that was added, was not pulled? Okay, so you will be voting on that. I just wanted to, I'll be speaking about water in general, but very specifically about the pump. The pump that first of all, I'm sure that all the suppliers are good, and it's a very simple recommendation, but I just want to point out to you that of the vendors requested, one vendor identified identified 220 feet, being that the pump is going to be submerged by 210 feet, so they have the 10 extra feet for kinks and corners. There is a sum of $1,720 for electrical wiring, which appears on your last bid, bring the price up to $8,876. That amount does not appear on your other bids. So essentially, one of these contracts is assuming that they are going to replace a large amount of wiring, and the other ones aren't. So that's just something to mention. I don't think necessarily that it's going to alter too much. For example, the lowest bidder, aside from the pump, is identifying only $25 for additional materials, which I think would be low if you invite someone to your house to install something. You're probably going to have more than $25 in miscellaneous fittings. So you may want to look at that, but I'm sure that it'll work out well. In other issues that are larger and have to do with water, I believe the iBank did not fully complete the replacement of all the house lines, and there may very well be targeted house lines that are of lower quality. This is a long time ago. I was under the impression that not everything was replaced, and so I would like to hope that in the future maybe someone goes back to look at those areas which may have a value to, because there may be still leaks in the system. And as far as the saltwater intrusion, it is in the form of a finger. When you move wells and when you're dealing with areas of soil which are gravel.
Thank you. If they put a gravity sewer in here and the slopes don't move the solids, then they'll have to use fire hydrants, according to the Wallace Group, to flush the solids down to the manholes. Using the same design that they have at the present time, that's what would happen because of the conservation. The reduced flows will not be enough to reach scouring speed. A number of engineers have pointed that out. I think the CSD needs to prevent that from happening and not allow the county workers who have this project to take the water out of our water system. No one has discussed that before. It hasn't been brought up. But you can do that. You can say, no, you can't take our water out of our fire hydrants. It's drinking water. You'll have to get your own water to flush that down there from sewer effluent or tankers or whatever. It just goes to show you what a really stupid project is being forced on this community. Because there will be water leaking in over time as the sewer gets older and looser, they all do, will be leaking in, we'll be losing that water, and it'll go into the treatment plant. That's potable water. And then there'll be sewage leaking out into our upper aquifer. So the discussion of the affordability by the USDA loan really didn't get into the details of the fact that the project that they're proposing for us now is not the most affordable one by 3-to-1. And the USDA rules clearly state and the verb is must, M-U-S-T. Müssen in Germans mean you have to, müssen. Must choose the most affordable project. They haven't complied with the rules. So I think those are some concerns, especially not allowing water to be removed from our fire hydrants to wash sewage down a collection system.
Thank you. With that, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. Do we have any discussion on the consent agenda or a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to accept the administrative and committee reports and approve consent calendar items A through F.
I'll second.
Any further discussion?
The financial reports get more clear and clearer to read all the time, Ampi. Thank you very much. I can even get them now.
We can actually have a unanimous vote. All right, with that then, we'll take the roll call vote, please.
Director Sparks?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Director Senior?
Yes.
Vice President Sennett?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes. With that then, we'll move to general action item. The hearing to receive general matters report on delinquent water charges, to consider objections or protests to recording liens, and the collection of past due water accounts on the tax roll in the same manner as property taxes, as listed in the general manager's report. I will just I'll defer to you for the rest of it. And John, if you have anything to add, feel free to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, President Ohilski. You first saw this item last month. There were four accounts that were delinquent, and this is just the next step in the process to try to get collection on those accounts. There was one of the accounts that, if I remember correctly, there was a property that had been vacated by the tenant, and without any idea where that tenant was. The property was foreclosed on in escrow, and there was a short sale, and the escrow company ignored our demand for payment because of it was a short sale. We did look into that issue in response to director and public comment about how do we make sure that doesn't happen again. We got some clarification from district council that the lien and the placement of the delinquency on a tax roll doesn't have to go concurrently like we've been doing it. So what we have determined is that we don't need to change anything in our policies or our ordinances, but the awareness allows us to go ahead and record that lien at an earlier point in time so that it does become a condition of escrow and would have to be paid before an escrow could close. So I think that the increased awareness by staff is enough to make sure that won't happen again. With that, the recommendation before you tonight is that the board receive testimony of objections or protests to the recording of liens and the collection of past due water accounts on the tax roll as listed in the report. Following closure of public comment on this item, the board may direct staff to amend the list and to investigate any account. Once the listing is finalized, then staff recommends the board adopt the attached LOCSD resolution 2010-21. Which will then effectively place those amounts on the tax rolls for those properties.
Thank you. John, do you have anything to add?
No.
Is there any questions from the board? So my understanding is we now hear and consider protests from the property owners on the list. Is that correct?
Yeah. And there's no magic way of doing this, but typically the way I would prefer it to be done is if there is – sorry, just turned it on. Is there a property owner in the audience that wishes to protest, and you would hear the protest first, if there are any, then you would take general public comment at the conclusion of those people that wanted to protest and then take action.
Thank you. Is there any property owner here that would like to protest or object? Okay, seeing none, then we'll close that and open it to general public comment if there is any. Any general public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close general public comment, bring it back to the board for discussion and action.
I'd like to make a motion that we move to adopt LLCSD Resolution 2010-21.
I'll second that.
Motion has been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, can we have a roll call, please?
Director Sparks?
Yes.
Director Cecenia?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Vice President Sennett?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we do not have continued general public comment because we completed public comment today. With that, we'll have closing board comments. We'll start with Director Cecenia and move over to Director Sparks.
Oktoberfest, you said, was the 31st. Baywood Park. Sammy Steelhead will be there, probably. Yeah, okay. Swimming upstream. And LOCAC this year, and a great time by everybody, I'm sure. Show up. And
are you going to wear the Steelhead this year?
I don't know.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. We'll move to Vice President Sennett.
I'll just say good night and keep it short. Thank you.
Director Kelly?
Okay, wrap up on coastal cleanup and creek day cleanup. Coastal cleanup was a little lower in volunteers number, but we increased our pounds of trash significantly, mostly because of Cuesta Inlet and the removal of boat trailers and boats. So still checking with the Coastal Commission whether that's how they're going to let us calculate that. And then Creek Day was also very successful this year. Low numbers in South County, good numbers in Central and North County, so people keep showing up to help clean up, so thanks.
Echo Director Cecenia, Oktoberfest, and you should be there before 9 a.m. for the fun run that helps support our Morro Bay heralded cross-country and track teams, so I'll be running, and I challenge everybody else to run. You can beat me. November 2nd is, I believe November 2nd is the election date. Correct me if I'm wrong. So if you're not going to be able to, get your absentees and please vote. And then our next agenda meeting, our next meeting will be 11-4. I hope we shoot for to have the protest, consideration of the protest on at that meeting, so long as our staff is able to review and in time for us to consider that.
Thank you.
I almost died the last time I did that run, but I accept your challenge.
Oh.
No money. We'll see who lives.
My money is on directors. Nothing personal, but...
Can someone go by the library and get the AED device? Just
two things I'd just like to bring up. We did have the meet and greet with the CSD director candidates last Sunday. Unfortunately, I did provide the chili and I did provide the facility, but unfortunately I decided to go to the Giants game and watch them wrap up the Western Division, so good thing they won or I would have been really upset, but hey. So I'd like to thank Director Kelly for filling in and covering for me, and I'd like to thank the community members that did come out and meet and talk to. Well, but you were doing it yourself. But I'd like to thank the community members. I'd like to thank the candidates who came out and met. I think it's good for people to get to know each other on an informal basis. So I think that that's good, and I hope that the candidates and the people in the community continue that outreach both ways to try to get to know who the candidates are on the ballot. I know some of the ballots have already been returned, but hopefully that we can get that going. The election is, as you mentioned, on the 2nd, so we do have a month left till the election.
Is there going to be a debate?
It's up to the candidates. I do not know anything, other than I do know that St. Benedict's volunteered their facility. That's the extent of my knowledge of this. So our next meeting is on the 4th, and again, depending on what happens with the county as far as the rates and charges, we may look at how we deal with it at that time, depending if the county stays on their schedule or not. I can't say at this point. We are going to go back into closed session now to continue our discussion of the bankruptcy. So with that, we'll adjourn back into closed session.